Yeah, regular season over. Play-ins tomorrow and Wednesday. The playoffs get started on Saturday. Suns will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round after they beat the brains in of the Timberwolves yesterday. And here to talk NBA with us, Phoenix Suns and beyond from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Of course, you see him all over ESPN as well. Frank Isola joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Good morning, Frank.
Boys, what's up? How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. It's we've used the word roller coaster ride to describe the Suns a million times during this 82 game season, and here we are at the end of it, and with all the frustration, the Suns have a very, very favorable path. At least it looks like going in. Would you agree?
No, I do, and I think it's weird because it seems like the team, I don't know if you'd be shocked if they got knocked down the first round. I also wouldn't be shocked if they make the conference finals. I mean, you know, you have three guys like that, especially Devin Booker is incredible, and Kevin Durant, you know, has been in so many of these playoff series before. Minnesota is a good defensive team. That's the one thing you have to remember about them. And Anthony Edwards is a good player. He's not going to be intimidated by the moment. But they did well, you know, winning the game yesterday in New Orleans, you know, completely fell apart, which was somewhat predictable. If you think about it, right, New Orleans, you kind of feel like they had two signature performances this year. One was the in-season tournament against the Lakers. They lost by 44 in the semifinals. and then yesterday they had a chance to be six, and I think they lost by 16 or 18, whatever it is. So the Pelicans this week, think about this. I know you guys are more focused on the Sun. They lost yesterday. That was for sixth place. They could lose tomorrow, which would be for seventh. And if they lose on Friday, that would be for eighth. So in the span of a week, they will lose sixth, seventh, and eighth place.
Wow.
So they better win one of these games.
Yeah, that's very Pelican-like, yeah. As we got down the season, that game against the Clippers, falling behind 35-4, and then the following night of getting tested by the Clippers scrubs, it really felt like the Suns were broken internally, that something was really, really off. Did you sense that as well? And how rare is it for this team to kind of, or for a team to find something to rally around?
Yeah, that was shocking what happened in that game, the 35-4 lead that the Clippers had. I had a feeling that the Phoenix Suns would win the next time. I get it. You know, look who wasn't playing for the Clippers. But I think for a lot of these players, I kind of feel like Kevin Durant is in this group, and it doesn't make it right, but you know, they just try to somehow manage to get through the regular season, and they just have a way of elevating their games come playoff time. And, you know, whenever you have, I mean, they have two guys, and I won't include Bradley Beal in this, but you do have two guys that on any given playoff game could score 14 points in a quarter, 16 points. Like, they have the ability to do that, and they can get into this groove where they're unstoppable. And I think, you know, and they're the one team also in the Western Conference which, you know, could beat Denver. You look at the Lakers, I think it's nine in a row, right, that they've lost to Denver, and the Golden State Warriors can't beat them. Denver's still the team, but I don't know. I think the Phoenix Suns is the one team that I'd be worried about if I were the Denver Nuggets. Now, they still have to get past this round, but I think that's why a lot of teams don't mind playing either Oklahoma City or Minnesota, just because of lack of experience on both of the rosters.
Talking with Frank Isola, SiriusXM NBA radio host, also ESPN. He joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. There's a lot of talk locally and I think nationally too about this late season surge by Bradley Beal as becoming the Suns' best player during this run. In his last five games, Frank, Bradley Beal is averaging almost 27 points per game. He's shooting 73% from three-point range. And he's been easily the most emotional leader the Suns have had in this whole stretch. What do you make of this from Bradley Beal, somebody who's watched his career from from a different viewpoint than us, his days in Washington? He looks like he's ready for this challenge moving forward.
No, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on guys like Damian Lillard, you know, guys that got traded, went to better teams, and now it's put up or shut up time come playoff time. And Bradley Beal really hasn't played in a big game since I think it was game seven when he was with the Wizards against Boston. And that was a game where he and John Wall didn't do anything. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him, but I give him a lot of credit. The way that the year started, and you're hearing all this stuff about the injuries and you're hearing about his back, and you started thinking, man, is this guy ever going to be right? But to his credit, you know, he's come back and he's played well. I think what also helps is that when you're kind of the third, I mean, think about that. Like, Bradley Beal is your third guy. That's pretty good. you know, considering what they have with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. But to get him playing well at this time of the year, you know, Tom Thibodeau said that after the game last night with the New York Knicks. The key is you want to be playing your best basketball toward the end of the year. Now, that might not be the case overall with the Phoenix Suns, but it's certainly the case with Bradley Beal. But again, there's going to be a lot of pressure because they gave up a lot to get him. You know, he manipulated where he wanted to go because he had the no-trade clause. It's just like Lillard. Lillard wanted to be traded, wanted to be out of Portland, and that team stumbled toward the end of the season. In fact, I think they had a losing record in their last, what was it, maybe 35 games.
Yeah.
So I think the two guys are under a lot of pressure, the two guys that were part of a celebrated trades, I should say, last year, both Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard.
I'm curious, because you've got a worldview and a league-wide perspective. Matt Ishbia went and signed Grayson Allen today, and his luxury tax bill is going to be insane. The amount of cash money he's going to end up paying for Grayson Allen with tax liabilities is unbelievable. What does the rest of the league, what did the commissioner think of an owner that spends like that? Do they embrace it? Are they happy because all that penalty money gets filtered back? What do they feel about an owner who does that?
Well, you know, it is their player. And I think, right, it was a trade where they got Grayson Allen. Now, a couple of years ago, he did not play well against the Boston Celtics, but I think he's played really well this year. And it's always funny, whenever Grayson Allen commits a hard foul, everyone in the league comes out and says, you know, he's a dirty player. When Draymond does it, everyone says, well, I just hope he gets the help that he needs. I hope he gets counseling, and I hope it works. But Grayson Allen has one hard foul. Oh, he's got to go. Out of the league.
True.
He went to Duke. What a bum he is. But I think I would look at it this way, and you guys know this better than I do. You know, when you had the previous owner, when the team was close to being a championship team, that's when they started really counting. You know, they were bean counting, and they could have had Joe Johnson, what was it, for $50
million? Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to sign him. And then after the season, he ended up signing with Atlanta. And that's when that team was on the verge of winning a championship. So I give Matt Ishbia credit from this standpoint. You know, you bought the team. If you want to win, show it. And I think if I'm a fan of the Phoenix Suns, it doesn't mean you have to agree with every move that they're making. But clearly, they're making moves because they want to win. It's the same thing with Joe Lacob and the Warriors. Think about the money that they're paying. You know, I like Joe Lacob. You know, he does love to, you know, he conveniently forgets that he's not the guy that drafted Steph Curry when they always say, like, we're light years ahead of everybody else. Well, actually, the other regime and the other ownership did that. But they're always willing to pay the freight. If you believe you have a championship team, the Boston Celtics are kind of going through that, too, because Boston had 64 wins. You know, their payroll's insane. You know, they just signed Drew Holiday. Jaylen Brown makes $300 million. Kristaps Porzingis, his contract's going to come up. So, you know, on the one hand, you're telling the fans, you know, invest in our team, you know, emotionally, but then the owner's not going to invest financially. I think that's the wrong thing. But I don't think the league minds it, just as long as it's kind of your own players, as opposed to doing what LeBron did, where he made sure he went to every team in the league, or, you know, the places that he went, he made sure he had a ready-made team to try to win the championship.
Yeah. Frank, you mentioned Boston real quick, and on this subject of pressure, you've talked about individual pressure. How much pressure do you put on the Boston Celtics? They were by far and away the best team in the East. They won by double digits in terms of the standings. They've been close for a few years, and they do have that team that looks like it's ready-made for a championship. How much pressure is on the Celtics to get this done this year?
Well, it's interesting, right? I think, you know, with all their players who are accomplished and make a lot of money, they have an easy out, because the minute they lose in Boston, it's always Joe Mazzulla's fault.
Yeah.
And then Joe Mazzulla is also combative with the media, so that kind of plays into that. I think Joe Mazzulla, you know, he's fighting, you know who that is, Dan, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary will just ask, like, why'd you guys take so many threes? And Joe Mazzulla's ready to jump over the podium and attack him. So he never comes across well in those losses. Here's the thing about Boston. The only thing, you know, and I do the radio show with Brian Scalabrine, who basically dresses as a leprechaun every day because he does the Celtic games on TV. You know, they're 3-11 in one possession games this year. So the game, you know, there's a couple that stick out. Remember the game they had against Cleveland where they were up 22 in the fourth quarter, somehow blew that lead, and then late in the game on the final possession, Jason Tatum dribbled the ball 19 times before he shot, and he missed a shot. Then they played Atlanta about a month later. This was pretty recently.
Yeah.
They were up 30 in that game. They lost that game on the final possession of the game for the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown dribbled the ball 23 times. I never understand why these teams that play a certain way, ball movement, cutting, when it comes to the biggest possession of the game, everyone just does, you know, the James Harden, just dribble the life out, you know, the blood out of the basketball and take like a fadeaway step back three. That never makes any sense. So that's the one concern I think that people would have with the Celtics in terms of losing. But come on, guys. You know, not enough people take the regular season seriously. They went 64-18. Yeah. That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, really good. Frank, you're the best, man. Thanks so much, buddy, for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right. Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save